From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome into this Wednesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready. Neil is in the Clark Ford studio. You can see behind me I am not. However, we're all together. We're all together on this internet thing that we have going today. Podcast about an hour late because of my travel. That's okay. Another podcast coming to you later today as well. We'll do some master preview stuff. We'll talk some Ole Miss sports and more. So on this one, we will update Tim Elko. I have a feeling Neil has questions as I've been in a couple airports today. I've been doing some things. So.
I absolutely have questions. I have a litany of questions just waiting. I feel like one of the attorneys in the Chauvin trial. I'm just itching to get my turn at the lectern.
Yeah, so there we go. We'll get into that in a second. First, tell you about the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. Download the SpeedPass Plus app. Take advantage of that because when you do, you earn points and save money with all Blue Sky locations in Mississippi. You also can get your daily lunch specials, $5.69, two sides bread, 32-ounce drink. Or check out the hot case, pork, chicken, side items, dessert, and more. And again, Mr. McCready's in the Clark Ford studio.
I am. 662-257-1900 is the number you call for Clark Ford. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for. He sends you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's really that simple. It's right to the bottom line. No hassle, no haggle. You get your quote, and the rest is up to you. 662-257-1900. You can also guest join us on the Rafters Music and Food Hotline. Rafters Music and Food on the Square in Oxford. Be a great place this weekend to hang out before, after, maybe even during Ole Miss, Arkansas baseball. And there's the Masters, as Chase mentioned. There's all sorts of stuff to hang out. Burgers, po' boys, appetizers, great beer selection, full bar, the whole deal there at Rafters Music and Food on the Square in Oxford and also in New Albany.
So go ahead. You're in the studio. You have the controls.
So you flew today. Am I at liberty to tell people where you flew to?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Fine. Chase is in Dallas. Gonna go do a little golf for a couple of days. He'll be back in time for the Ole Miss Arkansas series. But you flew today. I believe you flew Southwest. I don't think I'm giving away state secrets at this point. You flew Southwest, which meant that Southwest sent you a email before the flight saying, hey, we want to make sure that everyone has a great flight experience from arrival at the airport until leaving the arrival airport. So that meant, what did that mean? That meant, like, did you have to, wear a hazmat suit and hand sanitizer, or what happened?
It did mean masks throughout. From essentially, I guess, when I walked in to the Memphis airport until I got, I guess technically in the cab, leaving Love Field. And I'll tell you, I had to think about it a little bit and pick the right mask, because when you know you're probably going to have one on that long, it's going to be enforced. Some are a little thicker than others. Some are going to kind of get on you a little bit. So I was pretty good about picking the right mask, picking a little thinner one, picking one that I felt like I could breathe through. And let's just say there was a lot of caution taking on the airplane. I saw a lot of doubles. I saw a lot of face protectors and masks.
Really?
I sent Neil a text, and actually I took a picture. So it said, when you check Southwest to do the, tells you how far the flight has left, pick the free movies, all that kind of stuff. It's a simple task between sips and bites, wear a mask. And people took that to really big heart. what was basically going on was we got, the snack mix. They cut down the refreshments to water, Coke, Diet Coke, and Sprite. However, they give you the snack mix stuff. And lots of people kept the mask on. And if you're watching ESPN 8, see this, they would kind of do this. And they would pull the corner up, put the peanuts and the Cheez-Its and whatever in, and then leave the mask back on and continue their route.
Even the double masking people? Or did they take off one of the masks? How did that work?
I think they were able to still slip it through there, yeah. It's a little more of a tight window, but
how were they? Were they able to drink with their mask, or how did that work?
It's real quick. You're pulling down and then back up. It's a process.
So you're telling me that there's a wide variety of people out there with different ranges of fear, from the one I'm terrified, I couldn't care less, to 10, I'm absolutely petrified.
Yeah, and look, I think most people were fine. It's that the people that go over and beyond, and you can, and I guess not credit to them necessarily, but in their defense, they're legitimately scared. I mean, yeah, there was some people that they're legitimately terrified on this plane, to the point that they were very cautious. If it, you know, I was in an, I think my seating assignment was A31. So I was able to pick a window seat pretty easily. I just went to the end of my row and started minding my own business. The people that were in B, or maybe even C, if there is a C on Southwest, there's several of them were very concerned about having to squeeze between two other people, about having the middle seat or not being able to spread out in anything. It was an interesting, it's the most people I've been around that I felt like you had a lot of different ideas in one place. Let's put it that way. And it was a little bit of human psychology watching everybody in the airports and then on the plane. The airports, people seemed completely cool and sane and whatever, but the plane, there was some meat grinding mental stuff going on with some of these people.
Was the plane full?
It wasn't full, but it was pretty full. I would say 75 to 80%. There were a lot of rows that had all three on it, and there were almost every row had at least two. I had a young woman sitting in the aisle, and I was at the window. There was nobody in the middle seat, but a lot of middle seats were taken. Yeah.
What was her situation? Was she freaked out, or was she all right?
She was fine. She was wearing some headphones. She appeared to be picking one of the movies that was offered as a free watch. I was very jealous of her because I didn't bring the right headphones. She had the big noise canceling headphones where you could really hear on the phone through the Bluetooth.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't. I only had my running headphones, which are those jawbone ones. You know, nothing even goes in your ears. It all sits here in your cheeks. So to listen to anything, I had to put my fingers in my ears and create noise canceling headphones out of them. And after like 10 minutes, I'm like, screw it. I'll read or do something else. And I gave up. I was trying to watch a movie, but I didn't do it. And when we got done quickly, the flight was only about an hour and 10 minutes.
As you board the plane, and I've not flown at all since the pandemic started. I live in a house where when we talked about summer vacation, my son just said, "Dad, I don't want to go anywhere. I have to fly. I don't want to. I wear a mask all day. I don't want to wear a mask on vacation." So I was like, "Okay, that's not a problem." So I haven't gone anywhere. Were the stewardesses having to remind people of mask stuff when you walked on, or was it understood?
I did not hear a single airline or airport employee remind anyone of anything. Nothing. There was at no point did I hear any sort of, "Hey, by the way," there was no policing on the plane between the stewardesses or flight attendants. I apologize. It all, like, nothing whatsoever. There was no, and even I think, what did he say? The pilot, he mentioned, because I'm assuming it was on his script, that I think it was the pilot, may have been the head flight attendant, I'm not sure, said that it was now a federal offense if you did not wear a mask on an airline by presidential executive order.
Oh, that's right. That was one of Biden's interstate travel things.
Yeah, he said as of January 21, he said that. But then at the very end, when he was finishing his spiel, he said something about if the oxygen mask falls, take off your quote compliance diaper. And
oh my God.
Yeah. And then insert the, or put the mask on.
I'm surprised he could say that without getting fired.
That's what he did. Yeah. He called it a compliance diaper.
Did people laugh, or was there some awkward laughter, or?
There did not appear to be a lot of chuckling going on around me that I could tell.
So you were on a pretty serious flight. People,
everybody was, nobody was sleepy. It wasn't early morning, but yeah, everybody was very earnest today. We were just getting there. We were getting to Dallas. That's all we were doing. So, you know, and it's still like all the things that drive you crazy flying, they were still true. Like when Southwest, you know, they're like, you know, they line you up like ants and you do the 1 through 30 and the 1 through 60 or whatever it is. And the people that have like 45 to 60 and they race to their spot in line. Like, as soon as, hey, we're boarding now, and they're jumping up, and they're grabbing the backpacks, and they're taking off, and I'm going, what are you doing?
It's going to be 20 minutes, man. I mean, just what are you – chill. It's going to be a minute.
It's that and then leaving when everybody stands up. Yeah. It's like, we're going nowhere for 15 minutes. Where are you going? But I'm going to stand up, and I'm going to lean over people, and I'm going to grab from my bag, and it's like
– Well, and I'll sometimes sit on the aisle. And this is obviously pre-pandemic, and we'll land, and the guy on the window gets up and grabs his stuff like he's going to come out. I'm like, what are you doing? We're going to be here a minute. Just calm down.
Mm-hmm.
Or the one that I love is when you pick an aisle seat, and the guy comes in, and he goes, will you scoot over? And it's like, no, very clearly, I'm in this seat for a reason.
I chose my aisle seat.
See, I always pay the early bird thing, because I never want to run the risk on a Southwest flight of getting stuck in the middle. And so I just pay the extra 10, 15 bucks to make sure that I'm going to be around A27 to A31, 32. I'm going to get an aisle seat, guaranteed. And so obviously when I pick that, when the guy comes and he's like, can you move over? No, I'm not moving over. I mean, why would I move over? I'm here intentionally. I chose this spot.
Yeah, I mean, that's incredibly rude. Because, yeah, you've got priority. I mean, you could have sat by the window if you want to sit by the window. And I'm a window person. I don't want an aisle seat. I can typically hold my bladder okay. I have no reason to get my elbows bumped. I'm good. Give me the window where I can kind of lean up against it and use it as a bit of a brace or a pillow.
Yeah, I mean, I've done that too. I'm a little claustrophobic.
Are you really?
Yeah, a little bit. I'll tell you, there was a video on the internet yesterday. It was a dog. A cat was in a little cat house. And the dog, being a dog, just walked right in and got in the cat house and sort of stuck the cat in the back of the cat house. And the cat's got this look on its face like, you son of a bitch. And anyway, the whole time I'm thinking about, oh, man, if I were that cat, I'd lose my mind right now. And the cat kind of maneuvers its body and gets out and looks back at the dog like, you moron, you know. But the whole thing made me antsy watching it. People are like, I've watched this 100 times. Like, I watched it once, and that's plenty. Because I have this fear of sort of getting trapped in the.
Window, are you watching go up and down, and the ground get higher and lower, or does that bother you?
No, that doesn't bother me at all. In fact, I enjoy watching that, so that doesn't bother me at all. I kind of like to be able to have some freedom and be able to move one of my legs, you know, occasionally into the aisle just to stretch it for a second. So I'll pay the extra for that.
Flying doesn't bother me at all. And in any way, my heart rate does not increase, taking off, landing, nothing. I do, however, kind of do this deal with myself every time. I don't know why I do it, is when I'm landing, if we get fairly close to the ground, I go, okay, if something happens here, we're going to survive. I always dictate that moment in my mind of we could crash from here and nobody's going to die. And I don't know. I'm cool.
But you probably would die at that level because you're going really fast. I mean, it's still a high velocity car crash at that point.
Yeah, you're probably still, 150 miles an hour at least?
Yeah, you're still rolling.
Yeah, maybe so. So maybe it's a false sense of security that I've allowed myself to have.
Do you sleep on planes?
Mm-mm.
See, Carson makes fun of me because he says literally the moment the engine starts, I'm falling asleep. There's something about that that's comforting.
The hum is good for you.
I'm drowsy immediately. I've slept on planes from Tampa to San Francisco.
Across. And you're just tall enough to potentially get kind of cramped. See, I mean, I say I'm 5'8", but I'm probably 5'7½". I mean, I can stretch out anywhere. It doesn't really matter.
No, I can get – if I get – so my fear, if I'm being honest, I always hate doing this because it makes people get a little antsy.
Yeah.
If I sit on that window seat and run the risk of getting like a really big guy in the middle seat, now I'm crammed and it's in my head and I can't do it.
Because the armrest is his.
Well, and he spills over into my seat, and now I'm crammed up against the wall. And
now you are claustrophobic.
And now I'm claustrophobic, and there's no getting out. And so I always pick the aisle. Unless, like, if I'm on a flight with, like, the girls and I flew to Washington, and I think I got the window because I knew I was with them, is all good. But, you know what I mean? I mean, I didn't have to worry about Caroline spilling over into my seat. I mean, I knew what I was dealing with there. But, yeah, I know that makes me – I'm kind of an airplane snob about that.
Yeah, gender says I'm 5'1". If I sit in the emergency row, I get dirty looks. And then just tell them you're really helpful. No, I got this. In case we go down, you want me and it's your shoulder. That's the deal.
Grun says I always bring a big old bed sheet as some emergency parachute in my carry-on. I hate to break it to you, bud. That's not going to help you. But if it makes you feel better, I mean, we're
– You know – I saw the air traffic controllers got a little frisky today. It's one of the few times I've flown where I could see another plane go by us that was fairly close. I mean, not close enough to hit me or anything, but just close enough where you went, I'm glad you guys knew exactly what you were doing right there.
Oh, when you were up in the air?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're like going, and I'm seeing like another airline, like jetliner, go to the other side.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
You haven't seen that very often?
No, not much.
Yeah, he's moving pretty quickly that direction. So, anyway, whatever. Yeah, it was fine. I was a little worried about getting here a little too early. I knew the room wouldn't be ready, so I had to deal with that. But otherwise, everything went about as swimmingly as possible.
Now, you don't talk about it as much as I do, but the masks make you kind of nervous. They make you a little claustrophobic breathing and stuff. Did you have to calm yourself down?
No claustrophobic thing. And I'm better about that. You know, I used to be more claustrophobic than I am now, but again, I picked the right mask. There are some where I would have been having to kind of pull it away and take a couple breaths, then put it back, even if I was trying to keep it on. But I wore a pretty flimsy one that didn't require that much.
Well, about midway through this, I started watching the football coaches and they had the mask that you could see through. And so I started reaching out to a few people that I know in the business, like, where'd you get the mask? And I finally got a couple of coaches to tell me. And so I got a black one of those and a white one of those. And those are
a bit of a game changer.
Those are game changers.
Yeah.
Because they're so flimsy that they technically do the job. Now, they're so loose that they fall a lot. That's why you see coaches having to fight them, is because they're incredibly loose. But those are much easier to breathe in. Those tight fitting ones, man, I just can't do it. If I don't have to, I don't, because I just don't like them.
Well, and I think I didn't see anybody in one, but I think that would have been the one catch, is I don't think the airlines allow the gaiters or anything that's very, very loose, just pulled up. The way I interpreted it, they would say something if you didn't. Basically, tip of nose to kind of bottom of chin was sort of the rule there from a mask standpoint. So I think they might have, but from what I could tell, everybody was fairly compliant, even the people that just had the paper mask on that kind of fit around their face, and it was what it was. But, you know, I'll be curious here, and I mean, people in the chat probably live here and can tell us. I'm wondering, Texas is open too, but I'm seeing a lot of places where masks are still required. So I'm kind of curious what they're doing from a mask standpoint here while I'm here.
Well, you're in a part of Dallas where they're going to be a little more compliant.
Okay. You think so?
Yeah. As you get out of that area, it's going to get less and less compliant.
Okay. Yeah, the couple places that I was looking up for different reasons had things on their website saying still keep the mask on or like wear it or whatever. So we'll see. We'll let you know as the week goes on. Probably some Ole Miss athletics to actually talk about. We'll do that in a second. First, tell you about Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting and understand your market. Leader in condo financing, the float down option, and more. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
We're also brought to you by Lamman's Fine Jewelry. Lamman's, 1126 North Lamar Boulevard in Oxford. They've been serving the Oxford area for 73-plus years. Engagement rings, wedding rings, watches, pearls, children's jewelry, you name it, they've got it. In fact, they're the gold standard in fine jewelry in the Oxford area. LammonsFineJewelry.com or call them at 662-234-2777. We are also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, that's the place to go. Grenada Nissan in GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air is the name you can trust. They have more than 50 years of experience, professional HVAC experience in Oxford, Tupelo, and the surrounding area. They're offering a special cooling system check. So get in touch with them, 662-801-1777. Make sure that air conditioner is running in tip-top shape. We're also brought to you by the College Corner. It's your one-stop Rebel Shop. Two locations in the Jackson area. In Ridgeland, it's next to Fleet Feet and Flowood. It's next to Half Shell. If you don't live in Jackson, it's not a problem. You can visit the College Corner at collegecornerstore.com. Find them on Facebook and Instagram. They have the largest selection of Rebel gear in Central Mississippi. And we're brought to you by Pinnacle Trust. Pinnacle Trust based in Madison, Mississippi. They've got clients in more than 20 states, advisors in multiple states as well. Founded in 1997, they provide detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement for planning for individuals and businesses, and much more. At Pinnacle Trust, investing is treated like a commodity. Decisions are made using objective information and research, not emotions. So regardless of your level of wealth, they'll sit down with you, listen to your goals, study your expenses, and put forth a comprehensive, detailed, and financial retirement plan built just for you. It's pintrust.com, P-I-N-N-Trust.com. Make sure you tell them that you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the podcast. You get 10% off your first year's fees.
Podcast is brought to you by Visit Oxford. Visit OxfordMS.com. Still got about a day to vote in the Strong Towns competition. Oxford advanced to the finals against Lockport, Illinois. We looked at Lockport and Bismarck. It looks like Lockport has also made the finals. And a pretty good bit of time going into that, too. There was a lot of things that had to go into the different rounds. It's kind of a big deal from a city planning standpoint. So, again, you could vote there. Strongtowns.org is the website name, or any of the Visit Oxford social media links, Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. So, again, visit OxfordMS.com for the events page.
So we beat both Bentonville and Bismarck?
Yeah, so they beat Bentonville, Bismarck, Ridgewood, New Jersey, and somebody else. And I don't remember where that town was.
Take that, bitches.
Yeah, I mean, just I heard more about it than I was ever intending to the other day. But yeah, there's a lot up there. Let's see.
Next time I'm in Bentonville, I'm going to walk around going, beat you.
You should like wear a, you know, get like some signage of some sort.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking for the bracket. I don't see it right now. I had it up earlier for some reason. But anyway, yeah. I don't know. Oh, here it is. Let's see. Oxford beat Yellow Springs, Ohio was the other one.
Oh, yeah. That place. They think they're all that in Yellow Springs.
Lockport also went through Bellingham, Washington, and Bismarck, Winnie Bismarck, and Middleton, Wisconsin.
Middleton, Wisconsin.
Yeah, I don't know much about them.
I don't either.
But again, strongtowns.org, it's all over there. There's like a bracket. They have all sorts of stuff there at the top of the page. I guess Tim Oko, the other bit of news.
So we talked. We played with this idea yesterday. I saw where Mike Bianco said that they're going to let it rest 2 to 4 weeks, let the swelling get out of there, do some rehab, see if he can play with a brace. How realistic is this from talking to people?
So the exact timeline right now is that he's out at least 2 weeks. In 2 to 4 weeks, we don't know if it's two, we don't know if it's four. Mike said that really there's no timetable. It's just that's what he thought, given what he had heard from doctors and different people. They're going to see if the swelling is down, if he can handle some pain tolerance, and if essentially he can wear a brace and do something athletically, whatever that looks like for the season. Now, look, he's going to have surgery at some point. This is all delaying the inevitable from a surgical standpoint. I talked to a lot of different people about it, mostly talked to Dr. Reeves Moore. I used some of his quotes last night in a story that I wrote on Elko's injury. Dr. Moore, as we mentioned, he's a special orthopedic group here locally, but he worked with University of Alabama for a long time. He was one of the doctors that dealt with Tua Tagovailoa with his hip. He's worked for the Memphis Redbirds, got a lot of experience in sports medicine and in these type of injuries. And basically he told me his quotes here. He said, never say never. You've done it before for pocket quarterbacks in football, defensive linemen playing gap control without stunning, basically minimize pivoting and cutting. Be hard to do with his back leg and hitting stance, which requires a lot of explosive pivoting, as well as quick movements playing in the field at third. Maybe be able to play first base, see how he does a rehab and brace and go from there. it's reasonable to give it a shot, given the type of year he's having and how much he means to the team. May not be 100%, but 70% may be good enough to help them. One thing he did mention is that there's a bit of a gamble, because if you don't make a decision somewhat quickly, rehab could run into affecting you for next season. So you can end up losing a piece of a season you wouldn't typically have to lose, and it may be for naught. So they have time, but there is a certain amount of time you have before you really got to do something either way.
I admire him for even thinking about it. You know, I mean, you give it a shot. I get it. It just, in my mind, and listen, let me make this clear, I hope it works, because what a great story it would be, number one. And number two, from all accounts, and you know him, I don't, from all accounts, he's a great guy. It's difficult for me to imagine, knowing what I know about hitting, creating, you know, because a really good hitter, there's a lot of weight transfer in the box, and there's some torque that happens, and I just don't know how you can do that and then get out of the box and run. And then, you know, this about base running is that ideally you run four base paths and you're having to hit a bag and turn and sometimes slide. And there's just stuff that happens in the natural playing of baseball that makes it hard for me to believe that you could pull that off. But again, I hope you can.
Because the question here, in my opinion, is, like you said, is can he hit? That's what's going to decide this thing one way or the other, because worst case, he can DH. I mean,
sure.
Whatever from a position standpoint. But everybody that I talked to said, back leg. It's a lot of load. It's a lot of weight transfer where you're transferring off that leg instead of onto that leg. Most people thought that the front leg would, in theory, be easier. However, this is not something that typically happens with baseball players. Mike said at one point last night that he's never had an ACL tear in 30 years of coaching, it, whether it be an assistant coach at LSU or the head coach at McNeese State or Ole Miss. So it just shows you how freak this accident was in a lot of ways. I admire him from trying. Tim's a great guy. He also, I think, is at least weighing what his professional landscape looks like. He's not going to be a top two round pick in the summer's draft. I think the draft's going to 20 rounds this year? Is that right? Have they announced that?
That sounds right. I don't know. It's 15 to 20 rounds.
Okay. Point being, I don't know that he's a guy that necessarily is losing tons of money because he gives up a leverage season. So I think this is about college baseball. This is about trying to help them, because, you know, the other unspoken thing here is obviously Tim Mokko will help Ole Miss if he comes back next year, but they lose a lot. This is the year out of the two that on paper you have a chance to kind of make hay a little bit. So if he can hit, if he can actually do it, he would help this ball club. It would make a lot of sense. I just don't want to see you don't want to see a guy take this chance, not be able to do it effectively, and be in pain and unable to actually perform instead of getting the surgery.
Well, you've done more research on this than I have, but I did do a little bit of kind of show prep on this. He can't hurt it worse. It's torn. So if it's torn, it's torn.
That's correct.
You can aggravate it, you can inflame it again, and you can push the surgery back a couple of weeks, best I could tell. But, you know, I get it. Before you do surgery, you want the swelling to get out of there anyway. And so you do a little rehab and you try it a little, and then if the pain's intense, like you said, I just don't, you know, you don't want to see a guy suffer on the to try to help a team. You give it a shot and see what it looks like. But if it's going badly at that point, I think his best bet is to get the surgery and give himself the opportunity to rehab in time to maybe play next season.
Yeah. You know, Anthony Alford tried to play on a torn ACL at one point. That's kind of the only baseball person that I can remember off the top of my head. It's tough. I mean, here's the deal too. When you do anything kind of weird, it's going to hurt like hell.
Oh yeah.
You're going to run into a lot of pain threshold stuff during this.
To where it feels like bone on bone is what I'm told.
It
really hurts.
Because Mike wasn't and I don't know the answer to this, so I kind of hate to speculate. I had heard a little bit, and I heard that it's something else was involved, but Mike never elaborated past ACL. And now, look, if that's true, one of the worst ones happened, but that would be a huge gift for him if he didn't have multiple ligament damages. And maybe that's what makes this maybe possible, is he did have a very just the one ligament and not multiple ligaments. I don't think, if anything else is harmed in any way, I think it's only the meniscus. I don't think he tore a PCL or an LCL or something along those lines that would make this where there just wouldn't be enough stability in the knee to even give it a chance.
And sometimes in this, and look, I'm totally guessing, sometimes in this, a guy, you know, is having a great year. God, he was the national hitter of the month or something. I mean, he was carrying the Ole Miss team. I mean, he's having an all SEC / all American sort of season. Sometimes in these moments, you as a medical people, as a coach, you have to sort of say, hey, look, let's give it a shot, you know, just for your own peace of mind so that there's never questioning a what if. You know, I don't know that, but if you told me that the medical people internally were like, ah, this probably isn't going to happen, but if this helps him kind of get some closure on this, then let's do it, I'd buy that.
Sure. I mean, again, you've got 2 to 4 weeks. 2 to 4 weeks is not changing anything whatsoever. I mean, I asked Dr. Moore, I guess before I even knew the injury, I said, what's best case, worst case from a time standpoint? And I think it was essentially 6 to 9 months on average, depending on how bad it is. So, yeah, you've got 2 to 4. You can figure it out. You can let the take some anti-inflammatories. You can see what happens. But, I mean, the odds are still long. He's given it a shot. We'll see what it looks like. And there's a couple different things here. There's, hey, yeah, let's try it or let's not try it. And then once you actually try it, is it doable? So there's multiple steps here to actually getting back on the field, getting back into game action and seeing what it looks like.
A couple of questions in the thread. Ginger wants to know, could it potentially heal awkwardly? No, I don't think so. I mean, he's going to have surgery eventually. I mean, you can try it and it can just be too painful and it doesn't work, or you can try it and you can, you know, endure the pain for a while and do it. And then at the end of that, you have the surgery, but it's torn. And the only way to fix it is to repair it. So it's not going to grow back some weird way or something. It's torn.
It is what it is at this point.
They're going to replace it with usually they take it out of your hamstring or so, you know, that's how they're going to do that. And then Brian wants to know, Chase, and I'm interested here because I have an answer to this.
All right.
Do you use the drawers in the hotels or do you live out of your suitcase?
Both, depends on the thing. I immediately hung up some dress clothes. I mean, I had a sport coat in my bag. Like I had to do some stuff like that I had to get unwrinkled and get that squared away. But as far as things that I don't feel like need to be folded or hung, that I'll just live out of my suitcase. So anything that is a outerwear thing, I will put them up, I will fold them, and I'm an ironer, so I don't mind getting the iron out and ironing the clothes and being done with it. But yeah, like undergarments or shorts that I know aren't going to wrinkle, they'll mostly stay in the suitcase until I put them on.
I cannot begin my trip, whatever that is, until I have completely unpacked my suitcase,
the entire thing,
everything, and put the suitcase away. I even will like put my toiletries where they belong. I want to be organized and efficient.
Before, really?
Yeah, absolutely. Before I can go and do whatever it is that I'm there to do.
I was quite annoyed with myself because I got to the middle of basically 10 minutes from my house and I had forgotten a bag that I needed. It was an empty bag, but I needed it for something. So I turned around, went and got it. Got to the airport, and sure enough, I left that damn bag in my car. I didn't bring it. So I turned around, was almost late for the flight, and then still left it in the car and did not actually pack it with me. So
what was in the bag?
You know, it was empty. I needed it to put some stuff in for while I'm gone. Like, I needed another bag to have. So gotcha. I'm not sure how I'm going to broach that. I think I'm just going to take my computer bag, completely empty it out, and hope everything fits in it, because I don't really know what else to do. Because I had already switched to a backpack from my normal computer bag, because I felt like a backpack would be easier to carry through the airport, especially when I've got a carry-on and that huge golf bag that's in a carrying case on top of it. So I had a lot of stuff. I was kind of – and that's why I chose Southwest, because you get to do two bags for free.
So Brian says I'm a psychopath.
Well, but hanging clothes that I have folded in my suitcase, like I have to still get them out and hang them.
No, he's saying that I'm a psychopath because I have to unload everything and put it in drawers or in an organized fashion. 100%. There's no peace of mind for me until I'm unpacked.
As far as like polos and shorts, I can live out of a suitcase for 7 days in Hoover for the SEC baseball tournament.
Well, I realize that, but when I got to Hoover to cover what I intentionally was going to be a 2-day trip and turned into like a 10.
I'm staying a day or two. I don't know why you even had to unpack.
Well, I packed for somewhere in the middle, ended up having to do laundry. But I unloaded everything, put everything up in its proper place, and was completely organized.
Okay.
I'll even unload my computer bag and do it exactly.
Like on the desk, everything will be sat out. Like
absolutely.
There's a little bit of OCD tendency in that.
There's a lot of OCD. Because I went upstairs this morning. I was putting fresh sheets on the bed for Campbell, and I went into Carson's room, and of course it was a total disaster. And I mean, and part of me wondered, is he even my son? I mean, what is this? I mean, just wrappers and stuff everywhere. I mean, just total. It made me very uncomfortable, so I had to clean.
You do have one of the cleanest cars I've ever seen. I will give you that. Like inside, there's hardly ever anything out of place.
If there's even like a couple pieces of paper in there for more than a couple hours, I kind of start getting nervous.
Yeah, I know.
I like it very straight.
I mean, you make me want to almost like just take a sucker and just eat it and just throw it down and see how long it takes to like come out. Like just to do it.
For 5 minutes, I'd be thinking about it, and then I'd eventually just go get it and throw it away.
I screwed with one of my friends in high school's mother about that. She had, and this made no sense. You'll even agree with me here. So the trash can in their house they used was like under their sink in one of those drawer things. But then they had another trash can or trash bag in a normal kitchen trash can or whatever in the corner that you didn't use. And I never understood it ever, but I could not help it. If I went in there, I was going to throw something away in that trash can. And she would fish it out every single time. Why was it there? Was it ornamental? Is a trash can something that's actually ornamental?
Yeah, that's weird.
It was really strange. I don't know. I have no answers. But every time I had to go in and I had to throw something away, I couldn't help it.
ST Weasel makes a good point that I think about all the time. And so I do this mental tug of war. This is a thought that I have repeatedly. He says the hotel drawers might be scarier than hotel sheets and blankets because the maids never clean, or the custodial staff never clean the drawers. So
don't put your clothes in there.
Well, or you can take a towel and kind of clean it out first.
If you brought like drawer liner, you really would be a psychopath.
Well, then you're nuts. What if
wipes?
What if, and I'm just asking for a friend, you know, there you go. You bring some wipes, or you bring just a bottle of 409.
I'll give you a pass on the Clorox wipes. I think that actually is a logical, sane move.
I've done that, and I've carried if I knew I was going to be there for like a period of time, I've gotten like a little bottle of 409 spray where it's all-purpose cleaner and take it.
Somehow we got back there again. We'll
if you end up thinking about the. Always, they've washed the sheets. The thing that you do think about sometimes is the comforter. And I don't sleep with the comforter anyway because it's just too damn hot. But, like, you do think about the comforter and what God only knows
There's
what.
There's no way that's washed every time.
No. And, I mean, I thought about that during all the COVID stuff when we're all freaked out about COVID. I'm like, so we're going to freak out about the potential that there's a virus particle on this pole over here. But you're going to check into a hotel and waller around on the comforter where there's God only knows what?
Who and what?
Yeah. Well, yeah. You pretty much know the what. You just don't know the who. Say again. I said, you know the what. You just don't know the who.
Well, that's fair enough. All right. Good enough. Yeah, there's hardly any maid service. I said if you need something to let them know, but they're not just cleaning the rooms during your stay for pandemic purposes. So, makes me wonder if it always gets cleaned after too, but anyway.
I don't mind that.
No, I have no qualms at all. As long as I don't run out of towels, I'm cool. So anyway. Podcast brought to you in part by Northeast Spark. That's NESPARC.com. Two packages, the Ignite, the 100 Mbps, or the Blaze, the 1 gig that powers the Clark Ford Studio. Your hometown team bringing you world-class broadband, NESPARC.com, 662-238-3159. Phone service is available, as well as parental controls, network security, and more. Again, 662-238-3159.
We're also brought to you by John Edwards, Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. He's part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners that allows John to supply his clients with added values, unique benefits simply not available to other travelers. He traveled the globe for 37 years. Before getting into the travel business, he knows the extra attention that's needed to make a special trip one that creates a lifetime of unique memories. So get in touch with John. Just give him some parameters and a budget. He'll give you options you won't find on your own, and you don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of his services. 901-494-3387 or jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients save $50 off their first book trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast. It's a podcast that's also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. They also have a commercial checking account now paying 1% interest as long as you keep $10,000 in the account. Comes with fully interactive online banking. To learn more, go to liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. I have a mailbag up today. It's brought to you by Whitney McNutt of Tommy Morgan Incorporated Realtors, serving you for all your real estate needs in Oxford and Tupelo. She sells condos, land, commercial, and residential family homes. 662-567-2573 or 662-842-3844. And we're brought to you by Bain, Moss, and Bowen. It's a located in historic downtown Corinth. Their firm practices a wider range of law, from DUI defense to car wrecks to representing government entities. They're the only firm in Mississippi made up of a sitting state legislator, a former assistant district attorney, and a former circuit court judge. Their experience is unmatched in that regard, and you can tap into it by visiting them at 618 East Waldron Street in Corinth or by calling them at 662-287-1620.
Somebody in the thread earlier said, I guess we do more travel. That was the case, but I don't think that's the case anymore. I don't think there's going to be much of that at all for damn near anything.
It's mind-boggling to me to think about how little I've traveled. I haven't traveled to cover I covered the Arkansas game in Fayetteville. I went into Vault Hemingway the other day. It was my first time in the stadium in 18 months, which was bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's the one thing that I think is going to come out of this when we get back to whatever normal is. I think Zoom is going to be encouraged to eliminate some of the road media.
And because on whose benefit or behalf?
I think it's just faster.
Yeah.
I think, we're getting into some inside baseball stuff here, but for football, when let's say Ole Miss plays at Auburn, the moment that game's over, the entire shift, the entire focus of the whole operation is to get out of Jordan-Hare. And so it's very quick. We get the head coach for 6 minutes. We used to get coordinators. We won't get coordinators now. So you get the head coach and two or three players. I think they'd much rather set up a Zoom, knock it out real quick, bring a couple players in there for a Zoom, knock it out real quick, and they're done. It expedites the exit, if you will.
During the week, there are lots of benefits to being in person, to not being Zoom for interviews. But like you said, if this is so fast, do you think Zoom is an appropriate substitute where nobody's really missing much of anything?
Yeah. On the road? The only time you ever got something on the road, if you're honest about it, was, you got something maybe in pregame because you might have, you were looking for an AD. Maybe you were looking for somebody for something you were working on. Mm-hmm. Down on the field in the final few minutes, sometimes you might get a moment with somebody to say, hey, what happened here? What's going on there? Or in those moments when you're waiting for the press conference to start, sometimes, you might be able to pull somebody over and ask about something, but only a little bit. And then from a what we do standpoint, Ole Miss, or we use the Auburn example, 30 minutes after the game, they're on the bus and they're gone, and now we're walking back to a press box to write for 2.5 hours to get all that stuff. Now, instead, we're at home. We can write. We can do a show. We can do whatever it is we do. I think those days are over. I think.
Yeah, I'm able to. I mean, I don't. Until the Zoom goes away, there's no reason to travel for anything. Nothing.
No.
I mean, I had a couple people the other day go, "What would you do for the College World Series?" And I went, "I don't know why you would go."
Well, there would be no reason to go.
Literally, I mean, I don't know.
Well, I mean, this is going to be I'm complimenting you here when I say this, but you're sourced enough inside the program. You wouldn't need to be in Omaha to get. Mm-mm. Someone on the phone to say, "Hey, what's up with this?" Or more likely, "Hey, I'm doing a story on so and so. Can I talk? Can I talk to you about so and so?"
Sure.
Why you could, and frankly, you could do that via Zoom and have it as a content item.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no reason that you couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So if the post game stuff was on Zoom, there would be no reason for you to be in Omaha, Nebraska.
And in the College World Series, they do everything so kind of scripted anyway. I mean, the only times you get really good stuff even in Omaha is on the practice days off.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And so if that's forbidden from a media standpoint, you're limited to a Zoom. Well, you could do that Zoom from anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're less optimistic than me. You think there's a chance the fall is still heavy, heavy Zoom.
I'm less that way today based on a couple of conversations I've had, but I don't completely rule it out. I'm really curious to see SEC Media Days, what that looks like, because it's still scheduled for Atlanta. I'm scheduled to see, do they hold that in person in July?
Sure.
Because if they don't, I don't know what's the difference.
Sorry, okay, yeah.
What's the difference between July and early September from a – like, it's one of the questions I have about, you know, I'm going to Dragon Con, but when Dragon Con's over, I assume Dragon Con's going to be available for people to be in person.
They haven't said it isn't. They appear to be full go.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, am I coming back here to cover the game? Or am I just staying there? And I don't know the answer to that. I lose you on Skype. Are you still there?
We're back.
Yeah, we're back.
Yeah, we're good, I think.
Well, and we're just jumping around here. G.J. Gatlin won, which is hard to say out loud. He says, I would miss the home game watch parties if you guys go back to covering home games at the stadium. And that's the other thing. We've created a content item that people want now.
People want.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know.
Yeah, because, I mean, the inside baseball, our conversations about the fall and what from content has been how to fix some other areas of weakness, not to remove the watch party. I mean, nothing's going away. It's just how to add things and how to make things better, not, hey, we've got it takes to do this.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we want Pete back. We want to do all those things the same way. Because, I mean, that's right. It's been 18 months because even – we started those things in 2019, and I guess I went for the first half of a couple games because we were just doing hand raise at that point, not the actual in-game parties.
I was trying to figure out when the last time I went to an Ole Miss game, a home football game in person. I know I covered I covered 19. I covered Arkansas at home and maybe one more after that, and then we started doing the shows.
It would be, I'll tell you, hold on, not Ole Miss 19 schedule. Vanderbilt at home.
I think that's right.
31-6 Ole Miss win. We started the shows the next week when they were in Columbia, Missouri.
Okay, that's okay. Right.
So, yeah, nothing. October 5th, 2019.
So it'd been a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that you justify going back to it. We have to figure out different ways to do it, and we will. So, but I don't know. I had thought that it was going to be pretty heavy Zoom, and I still think it might be heavy Zoom. But I have had some conversations with people that make me think, nope, this is going to be pretty wide open in the fall.
I saw Sean Watson started losing sponsors today. Nike, Beats by Dre, multiple people pulling away.
There's a volume of accusation that begins to become overwhelming.
How far is he away from just getting cut?
I would think a long way. You know, the way his contract is, the fact that he is their quarterback and a – yeah, they're telling me I have an echo and I have no idea how to fix it.
See, what's weird about that is I hear you perfectly clear.
Okay.
Doing nothing on my end.
I hear the echo on occasion. Like right now I hear it in my own headphones. It's kind of driving me a little nuts, and then it goes away. I don't know how to fix it.
We had an internet lapse and that I'm sure is on my end, but it is what it is.
Yeah. But we were talking about Deshaun. I don't think the Texans can cut him. It's too much of a risk. I think they have to stick with him until he's either voids the contract because of a conviction of some sort, or he is cleared. And then they have a decision to make. But this is
it's
a terrible spot for him. It's a terrible spot for the Texans. It's a really hard spot for the NFL because the NFL has been very sensitive to topics like these, and this hasn't gotten a ton of national attention until recently, but now that it's starting to get it, the NFL's probably going to have to address it.
I think there's no doubt it's within 30 to 45 days in that. Because, I mean, there's not 2 days that go by without something else popping up. I mean, it's either more people and more accusations, or it's more details. I mean, things come out in the last 24 hours about potentially stalking or intimidating and things along those lines. I mean, it's getting on even what we kind of thought early on quickly as this thing moves forward.
Well, and they're getting to a place where there's some criminal accusations that it's a criminal investigation. He's still innocent until proven guilty. Don't get me wrong, but we're getting past some of the pure civil stuff. The civil stuff, you can start saying, hey, well, this is just a witch hunt. This is people that are out to get him. When it gets into the criminal area where you're getting investigated criminally, that's where the NFL, their radar goes up, and they're very image conscious.
Yeah.
You know, it's a problem.
Yeah. Podcast brought to you in part by Tyson Drugs and G&M Pharmacy, 662-236-2222. Tyson there on the square in Holly Springs, G&M on South Lamar in Oxford that deliver locally in the Oxford area in the Upper Med Scene. Fill your prescriptions the same each month to take care of you. Make it one stop in to their store or one delivery to get everything you need when you need it. So again, 662-236-2222.
We're also brought to you by Alpha Specialties, located 1670 Highway 80 in Pearl, Mississippi. They're your trailer-specific professional. If you want to haul it, they can call it. They're the premium trailer dealership in Mississippi. They've got Load Trail, which is the premium brand trailer, the highest quality utility equipment dump and gooseneck trailer being built today. They also have Hallmark Cargo Trailers, one of the most quality cargo trailers on the market, perfect for hauling goods to markets and shows, ATVs to deer camps, hauling race cars, and more. They have, for podcast listeners, they have spare tires and wheels starting at just $100. Alpha has a full selection of trailer parts and accessories, hitches, winches, straps, and more. They do all types of truck accessories. Our listeners can get 10% off a yearly trailer service and inspection at Alpha's full service shop. They can repair all types of trailers, too. So give them a call at 601-932-9798 or check them out at alphaofms.com. We're also brought to you by Blue Delta Jeans. They make the best fitting, most comfortable jeans in the world, because they are uniquely made for you and only you. Raw denim jeans, custom fit, hand-tailored in Tupelo, Mississippi. One size fits one at BlueDeltaJeans.com. Double Decker may not be happening in Oxford this month, but Blue Delta is happy to present the Blue Delta Blues Alley on the 23rd and 24th. It's a couple weekends from now. It's the weekend of the Grove Bowl, the weekend of the LSU Home Baseball Series. On that Friday night, Joe Austin and the Tallahatchies will play from 4 to 6, and then from 6 to 8, it'll be Grammy Award-nominated Jimmy Duck Holmes, the proprietor of Blue Front Cafe, the oldest surviving juke joint in Mississippi. Joe Austin and the Tallahatchies will be back on that Saturday from 2 to 6 for an afternoon of music. So come on out to the Blue Delta studio. Have a good time celebrating Oxford. Rebel Grove listeners can redeem 10% off using promo code Rebel Grove in the Oxford studio. And we're brought to you by The Rogue. They're your fine destination for fine men's clothing. They're stylist hand select pieces from top designers, work to lifestyle to nightlife, the perfect something for everyone at The Rogue. All the best items for Peter Millar, Martin Dingman, Jack Victor, Duckhead, True Grit, and more. 4450 I-55 North in Jackson or therogue.com.
Let's see. So Ole Miss and Arkansas this weekend. Looks like the Hogs are fairly healthy. I don't really don't see any news on them either way. Anything going into to that weekend series? Ole Miss will obviously keep Hoagland there in that role. People ask me about in the case he's fully healthy when they switch, but no, Mike was going to do that even prior to the injury, so no change there from a rotation standpoint for Ole Miss. I thought they let Drew McDaniel go a touch longer than I would have last night. McDaniel threw 66 pitches, threw four. And frankly, I think Mike was trying to avoid catastrophe because it was 0-0, 1-0 Alcorn State there going to the fifth. They need McDaniel this week. Need him potentially on multiple days. He threw 2 days over last weekend. And Mike said he got him out at that point simply to make sure he was reserved for the weekend. But that's kind of his max before he starts showing some fatigue signs. So I thought any more than that, it would have been a big deal. But 66 pitches from McDaniel last night against Alcorn State and Ole Miss, an 8-1 Ole Miss win.
Arkansas had some Friday night problems. First game of the weekend. Now, the kid for them pitched really well the other night. He got outpitched by the kid from Auburn. But he
was it Wicklander?
Yeah, Wicklander. Yeah. He pitched – is it Wickander or Wicklander?
Lander. Okay. L-A-N-D-E-R.
He pitched pretty well. He got the big right-hander for Auburn was just a little bit better, and Auburn got a 2-1 win. So he settled into that role a little bit there. But they've had some problems earlier in the year. The Saturday kid for them, I can't think of his name, has pitched pretty well. And then Lockhart, the Sunday starter, has been pretty consistent. He doesn't go deep in games. But they've got a really good bullpen that if their bullpen can stay quasi-fresh, they can get you late in a series on Saturday or Sunday. So it'll be I think it's going to be a really well-played, interesting series. Obviously, for Ole Miss, losing Elko is a blow, and it changes the dynamic of their lineup. And if you're Arkansas, it changes the way that you approach their team because now you can focus a little bit more on Graham. You can focus a little bit more on Dunhurst, and you don't have to worry about Elko beating you. You can now not let Graham beat you, so somebody else has to step up.
Yeah, Friday night, I mean, this has no bearing on anything. Mike was asking last night and said, nah, it's a rematch of game three from the 2019 Super Regional. Wicklander did start that game for Arkansas, and Gunnar Hoagland started that game for the Rebels. Gunnar, a completely different pitcher than he was a year and a half, almost 2 years ago with this at this juncture, but nonetheless, there's first time these two teams have met up since that weekend in Fayetteville.
By the way, there is weather in the forecast. Friday, there's a 67% chance of thunderstorms, 70% chance that night, potential for severe thunderstorms in the afternoon on Friday and Friday night, 90% chance Friday night. Saturday, there is a 80% chance of rain, showers with the chance of some thunder in the morning, skies turning partly cloudy late. So it sounds like Saturday is going to be okay. And then Sunday is perfect, sunny and a high of 74.
So we'll have some content at rebelgrove.com going into that, and then full coverage of the weekend for Ole Miss and Arkansas. Ole Miss will have another open practice, barring any weather issues on Saturday morning from a football standpoint. Don't know a time for that, but we'll also relay that on the message board when we know it. Neil got all the ads removed from rebelgrove.com, so if you haven't been since last night, you can breathe easily.
And, I made a call.
Take advantage of an ad-free experience.
I made a phone call, made a couple of text messages, and got things done.
They were annoying. They were
annoying. I demanded change. I got change.
Yeah.
So. You know, sometimes being a nice guy is overrated, and sometimes just being an actionable person gets things done. That's all I'm saying.
Barrett, I'm assuming that it's Kel Baker on Friday, but I don't know. I mean, the options remain what they are. It's Baker, LaFleur, or whether Mike wants to move Kevin Graham and go from there. So I don't think he's set on any one strategy. I think any of those three are still on the table as they move forward right now. There's no one is hitting or playing well enough to make that be more than it is. Anyway. All right. Appreciate everybody hanging in. Again, another show will be downloaded later today as well. And then we'll have coverage of Ole Miss and Arkansas football and more. And we'll talk to you again soon. Have a good day. Take care. Talk to you then.